Grace, peace, and mercy from God our Father, our Lord, and our living Savior, Jesus the Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. A number of years ago, we were living in North Carolina, and three of my oldest children decided they wanted to plant their own secret gardens. They had read this book called The Secret Garden, and in fact, they went to see the play as well. And they were really encouraged about that prospect of planting seeds in the ground and watching them grow, how they would develop. It was a mystery. It was a marvel. Both my parents grew up as farmers and gardeners. And thanks to my children, well, my family began its tradition in gardening. So in that yard in North Carolina, I planted three raised beds. And when each of them planted their seeds, each of those children did not tell the other what they were planting. It was going to be a secret garden. It was between God and them and their mother. So this was their time to care for this little patch of land. And so almost every morning after morning chores, they would venture out to see what developments happened in their little patch. And they learned, like gardeners of many ages, that pulling weeds and tending the soil were the secrets of a good harvest. The parables of Jesus are very interesting. He was sharing them in this occasion by the Sea of Galilee. They were stories that people could relate to, and in teaching them about the things of God, Jesus would take some practical aspect of their everyday living to show them something about the kingdom of God. But the way Jesus taught was in parables. Unlike allegories, which say that one thing is like another thing, parables do something different. They begin with something wonderfully familiar, but then they end up with a surprise in something unexpected. So the function of parables is actually meant to surprise us. We have been raised on listening to parables, the parables of Jesus, for example, don't always get the surprise anymore. And often we said, oh yes, I've heard this one before many times, and so we have to listen carefully. Because the examples in Jesus' parables are not always from our everyday experience. Children who grow up with cities don't know anything about gardening. And so the fact that Jesus is telling them that weeds should grow up with the fruit of the garden seems very odd to us, but not to little children. And we adults who have heard this parable so many times may say, sure, I get the point. Well, Jesus wanted to make sure we do get the point. And so later in this very same gospel in Matthew 13, he says, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, Jesus. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and God will let the good seed and the weeds grow together until the time of judgment. And at that time, he will gather together the righteous to bask in the sunshine of God's love. And the weeds will be gathered too, but they will be destroyed in a furnace of fire, where they will weep and gnash their teeth. So what's the surprise? What upsets our normal expectation of what ought to happen in this occasion? to pluck out weeds. But Jesus is saying that the weeds must grow up together with the good seeds. To pluck out the weeds, that is sinners, in the midst of God's people, is wrong. Not many of us like weeds. We like to get rid of them. Think of it. When you have invested a great deal of time in a garden, you don't want to see your great investment go to waste. And the energy that is taken up by weeds, you want to go towards that which is good, whether it's vegetables or flowers. In fact, weeds are a threat to anything that we're trying to nurture. But Jesus is saying something very new. And this was shocking. He was saying that people are not like weeds. People are special, even if they do seem weedy. Sometimes getting rid of painful people in our lives is a helpful thing. We incarcerate people. We rehabilitate people so that they don't repeat the same old offenses. And weeding out criminals is one of the better parts of our civic duty. But on a personal level, God uses the weeds around us to teach us something about ourselves and to teach us something about God's way of love. Because God sometimes, yes, many times, says that we have weeds in ourselves. And we have to admit that. That God is still working in us as well. Well, I want you to consider what Jesus is not saying in this parable. Jesus was not saying that it doesn't matter if you have weeds in your life, okay? Don't get that message out of this text, okay? All of us have weeds in our lives and we don't want to have them in there. We have sin in our lives and we don't want sin to remain in there. If this were the case, our God would be the kind of God who says anything goes. But that's not the case, because we know that there is a judgment at the end of our lives, a judgment to which each of us in this room and the whole wide world is going to experience. God calls us to a life of holiness and dedication to His will in our life. But what God is saying, let's not be so eager to pluck out the weeds around you. Growing God's way means allowing weeds to grow alongside the good seed. You see, each of us live in community, and people are everywhere around us, and so are weeds. Well, there's no doubt that the Pharisees and the Sadducees were listening into this parable. And I'm sure they believed that this parable was aimed directly at them. The Pharisees and the Sadducees did, in fact, dedicate their lives to pulling out weeds, especially towards those weeds that were around them. You see, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they had this whole system of rules and regulations with so many right things to do, so many wrong things to do, that they could easily identify people as good seed or as weeds. And of course they thought of themselves as the good seed, right? Good enough, because they followed all the right rules. They shunned those people who were weeds. Their culture discouraged marrying outside of the Jewish people. Anyone who was a tax collector was a weed. Anyone who was outside the Jewish bloodline was a weed. Anyone who did not know God and worship in the temple and the synagogue the same way they did was a weed. You avoided them. You only did business with those who were like you, so that they would not contaminate your life. These kind of people were weeds. It's easy, given this context, to understand why those Pharisees had so much trouble with Jesus. Because Jesus' ministry was marked by the fact that he would have fellowship with tax collectors, with harlots, and well-known sinners. This was a man who said he was of God, and yet he was constantly in the presence of weeds. This is the difference. And that, my friends, is the surprise. You see, God sent his son into a world full of weeds, to a sinful people, that his love might transform these people into the image of God. Furthermore, anyone who says that they are of God must confess that they are sinners. And so we confess that we are sinners, that our lives, as much as we believe that we have weeds in our life and we need to get those weeds out of our lives, Jesus shows us by his willingness to go to the cross for us that something is more important than pulling out the weeds around ourselves. And what is that? Saving weeds. Saving sinners. Each of us come to this place, hopefully week after week. You know, here we hear God's word, we come to his table, we get fed, we get nurtured. And one of the greatest tests to our faith is how we relate to other people. We love God, but relating to other people can sometimes be very, very difficult. Marriages that last are not marriage where one person tries to pull the weed out of the other married person. Lasting marriages are those marriages, are those where husbands and wives recognize they still have some weeds to work on. Sometimes those weeds take a while. They love their partners. They continue to have fellowship with their partners, weeds and all. Their love nurtures the soil of marriage, and God's Holy Spirit does the weeding. God is in the business of transformation. Growing God's way means that we live among weeds. And you know, that's our ministry, to shine, to show, to be an example to people around us. And that means that we must learn a principle called forbearance. Forbearing one another is putting up, dealing with the fact that other people have weeds in their lives, because we have the hope that God isn't finished with them yet, just like God isn't finished with us yet either. As Jesus has changed us, the grace of God is alive and continues to change those around us. For some of us, and for some of them, it's going to take a little while longer. For some, it's going to take a lot longer. But when we look honestly at the weeds that are in us, we can be so grateful that God's grace has saved a sinner just like me. It's not easy to refrain from weeding people from around ourselves, cutting off people, stopping relationships. That's very, very common. But Jesus is telling us something very different this day. Don't pull weeds. Gardens are different than people. Gardens do need to be weeded. But God has a better plan for people. He aims for the whole world to love Him and to love one another. And thank God that He loves us in spite of our sinfulness. By the grace of God, we can learn the lesson on how to forbear one another. As Jesus died on the cross for all people, may we be among those who cling to His forgiveness and grace and commit ourselves to growing God's way, loving people, loving weedy people, and showing them God's grace. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus today and always. Amen.